ship for 400 years, and God miraculously delivered them. The story of their deliverance is one of God sending plagues upon the land, Pharaoh's resistance and rebellion against God, and eventually God would send a final plague. Before that plague came, which was the death of the firstborn in every Egyptian household, the Lord commanded his people to slaughter a lamb and apply some of its blood to the lintel and doorposts of their house. And so when the angel of death passed through the land and every Egyptian family suffered the death of the firstborn, the people of God, the people of Israel, would be spared. And so it was on that fateful night, the angel of death came through the land. And wherever it saw a blood-stained house, it passed over that house, and there was no death. An event like that needs to be celebrated, don't you think? And so ancient Israelites celebrated Passover, that God passed over them. They were spared. They were protected in the hour of death. So the Passover lamb and the Passover sacrifice said some things to every Jew then and even today. An innocent lamb was sacrificed for you. They slaughtered a lamb and applied the blood. An innocent lamb suffered for you. An innocent lamb was the substitute for you. The lamb died. You did not. It is while celebrating Passover. Verse 19 and 20 of the text, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Verse 20. And he did the same with the cup, that is, in the same fashion. After supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." So celebrating Passover, Jesus took some of the elements and he instituted the Lord's Supper. "This bread is my body given for you. Take and eat. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Take and drink." And Jesus is saying what? "I am the sacrifice offered to God for your sins. I am the one who will suffer for your sins. I am the substitute. You should die, but I would. This is my blood of the covenant poured out for you." So as they're having supper with the Savior that evening, and as we would here today, let's know these things. Jesus became our sacrifice. Verse 7 of the text, "Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed." Now, the word sacrifice is thrown about in our language very casually, isn't it so? Whenever you do anything that takes a little sweat, you say it's a sacrifice. And maybe there are some of you here today who are saying, "Well, I sacrifice thus and so to be in church today." all that I have sacrificed for you, we tell some people. The richest sacrifice by paying more taxes. The text has the language of real sacrifice. For what I've mentioned there, that's no sacrifice, friends. The text has the language of sacrifice. In verse 7, the Passover lamb was slaughtered, that sacrifice. Jesus is saying, my blood will be poured out, that sacrifice. So many ancient cultures, you may know, had the practice of offering blood sacrifices to the gods. And there were those that even practiced human sacrifice. So what happened in a sacrifice? So why did they do it? Well, they felt that in order to come before their God and to gain access and communion with their God, they needed to offer some living creature to God. So a sacrifice is more than a gift or an offering. Every sacrifice is an offering, but every offering is not a sacrifice. So what is this sacrifice? Well, take, for example, the lamb that was offered. Bringing the lamb and giving it to God was not enough to be a sacrifice. The lamb did not become a sacrifice until it went through a crisis of death, a violent death, that is, and its blood poured out. Then it became a sacrifice. So sacrifice is really giving life to God. And the whole idea here is, what is given to God in sacrifice is no longer yours. Completely gone. The lamb is dead. If any of you are sitting here today and say, why do that to a poor animal? How could they be so cruel to a little creature? May I say respectfully, the real message here is, how could they do it to the innocent Son of God? Nail him to a cross. When Jesus therefore says, this is my blood poured out for you, he is saying, I gave my life as a sacrifice. I would die a violent death. My blood would be poured out for you. Christ, our sacrifice, not a lamb, but the Son of God. This is my blood poured out for you. And so in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12, we read that Christ offered one sacrifice for sin for all time. He is our Passover lamb, the perfect sacrifice given to God for the sins of the world. As we come and have supper with the Savior today, let us know. He is your sacrifice, our sacrifice for sin. But secondly, he is not only our sacrifice, he is our sufferer. He is the one who suffered for us. The end of verse 15, he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Before I suffer. Now, you see the word blood in the text. Now, wherever there is blood, I think there is suffering. Wouldn't you think so? I don't know about you, but whenever this flesh is torn, I feel pain. I suffer. I don't like suffering. Whether it is torn in an accident or somebody who has a license put a needle in my skin to take blood, Whenever they do that, I feel pain. I suffer. I don't like giving blood. It's under that skin for a purpose. It's mine. Whenever I see it, I suffer. No, we don't like to suffer, do we? Anybody here like to suffer? No. We don't like to suffer. Whenever we have a pain, we grab a pill. If the pill doesn't stop the pain, we go to the doctor, we say, numb it, cut it out, do whatever you have. We don't like to suffer. When a loved one is sick, what's our biggest concern? Is she suffering? And when the doctor says after an expiration, you know, he died peacefully, he didn't suffer, oh, we feel so much better. As though it is better he's dead than he's living and suffering. We don't like to suffer. The blood of redemption was poured out. Jesus suffered. His blood was not taken in some clinical manner. You know, he wasn't given a comfortable seat and a strap around his arm and the area numbed, a vein found, and a needle gently inserted. And then the person say, put a band-aid, bend your arm. That's not how his blood was taken. Needles were not used, nails were used. He was nailed. I want to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. I hope you're hearing the text today, friends. Jesus suffered. Have you ever contemplated that? I think yesterday I possibly did it in a way I never did before. I was getting myself ready for this hour. I began to think of the sufferings, and I began to imagine myself being there and being whipped as he was whipped. And I got to number 39 lashes he got, and I got to 1, 2, 3, and I can't take any more. Just visualizing it and putting myself there. He suffered. We should meditate on his passion sometime. To be beaten, crowned with thorns, nailed to a cross. My blood poured out. How he suffered. The worst of deaths. We think of the mass murderers and the serial killers of the ages. Some of them have had more comfortable deaths than this one. The Hitlers, the Saddam Husseins, far more comfortable deaths. And even think of our situation, that we have to sterilize a needle before we perform, you know, capital punishment on a condemned criminal. This criminal can't afford to get an infection, you know, from a needle that gives, you know, you got to sterilize that needle. That's a big lawsuit in America. He may suffer. Oh, you remember the big hubbub some time ago about, you know, this person who was electrocuted and they saw a little smoke coming up from his head. Cruel and unusual punishment. We can't do that. He was wounded for our transgression. Bruised for our iniquities. This is my blood poured out. Christ the sacrifice. Christ the sufferer. And thirdly and finally, verse 19 and 20. He took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. That's the big word in the text, friends, for. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 20. And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, this cup is poured out for the big word in the text, for you, it is the new covenant in my blood. What we have here, we have the doctrine of substitution for you, instead of you, on your behalf. Christ died as our substitute. In pagan religions, friends, the gods exist because of the people. Sacrifices were offered to feed the gods. The gods derived their power from the sacrifices of the people. A little piece from an old Babylonian account of creation and a flood tells of a man, Atrahasis, offering a burnt sacrifice. And the text says he offered a sacrifice, and the hungry gods gathered like flies over the offering. Why? In pagan cultures, the understanding was the people would feed the gods, the hungry gods. Our God is different. We do not do anything to benefit God. God does everything for us. Didn't you read it in the text? He takes bread, he gives it to them, and he says, take and eat. He takes the cup, take and drink. He feeds us. This is my blood given for you. So the most important concept in the entire Bible is this. Substitutionary death. What is that? Jesus died for me. Are you with me? One died for another. It's the greatest concept in the entire Bible that the Son of God came and died in my place, in your place. He died for me. Jesus, our substitute. He took our place. So Isaiah would say, all we like sheep have gone astray. The Lord has laid on him the sin of us all. St. Paul would say, Christ died for our sins. For our sins, according to the scriptures. St. Peter would say, Christ bore our sins in his body unto the cross. St. John would say, Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Christ the sacrifice, Christ the sufferer, Christ the substitute. So when we add it all up, friends, the message of Passover, the message of the Lord's Supper is simply this. God saves us through the death of another, even his son. Today we come to have supper with the Savior. We come to his table. Well, let us come knowing that it is all possible because he died. Are you with me? He was sacrificed. His blood poured out of him in a crisis of death. And in that act, his life was given to God in place of ours. In doing it, how did he suffer? Suffered, bled, and died. In doing it, he was the substitute. After hearing the gospel preach, a number of days, a young man finally came to the preacher and he said to the preacher, "What must I do to become a Christian? What must I do to become a Christian?" And the preacher wisely looked up and said, "I must tell you, man, you're too late. You are 2,000 years late." How? Christ has already done everything. Christ has already done everything for your salvation. All you have to do, all I have to do, is believe the good news. What use is there, my friends, in having someone die for you and you do not believe him? What use is having someone die for you and you do not accept his free offer of salvation? What do you have to do? In a sense, nothing. He paid the price. All you and I have to do is come before him humbly and say, "Lord Jesus, I thank you for being my sacrifice, for taking my suffering, for being my substitute. I accept what you did on the cross as sufficient for my salvation. I believe. I receive." Amen. Amen. Number 3.